522nd Corn Belt Farm Hour is on the air. With that familiar tune, we introduce another Corn Belt Farm Hour, the 522nd one of its kind, and extra special today as we observe this program's 10th anniversary. Today's broadcast will be an hour in length and features a most impressive list of guests. You'll hear Secretary of Agriculture Lynn, Mrs. William Feller, mother of the baseball star, 4-H President Ruth Stryker, Bobby Gott, who has a brand new sister, Dr. William Murray, son of the 1947 American mother, National County Agent President Nichols, and Pioneer Corn Belt Hour guests, Professor C.A. Iverson and Mrs. Z.C. Jones. There'll be special music by the Songfellows and Jerry and Zelda, as well as by the Corn Belt Hour Orchestra and Lucia. A review of this decade of WHO Farm Service is to be heard, as of course are your old favorites, Herb Plambeck, the originator of the Corn Belt Hour, and Bobby Griffin, Bill Diamond, and Gene Meyer. My name is Ernie Sanders, and it was my privilege to be the first Corn Belt Hour announcer. Consequently, it's a pleasure for me to open this anniversary broadcast by calling on Don Hovey and the orchestra to play Who. My pleasure now to turn back the clock exactly 10 years and to do just as I did then, on May 8, 1937, introduce WHO's Farm Director Herb Plambeck, who then presented the first Corn Belt Farm Hour.
Ernie Sanders, let me reply to your introduction by saying first, it's a pleasure for me after these 10 eventful years, five of which found you and many others in war service, to again say on a Corn Belt Hour, thanks, Ernie Sanders. Secondly, let me say emphatically, it's with the deepest gratitude that I participate on this anniversary program and recall the splendid cooperation, interest, and loyalty of our countless thousands of listeners and the encouragement and help Mr. Mayland and other WHO officials and staff members have given us. And third, I regard it a real honor to present our 4,297th Corn Belt Hour guest, Professor C.A. Iverson, of Iowa State College, who was also our first Corn Belt Hour guest. Professor Iverson, it's certainly like old times to have you with us again.
Herb, it's always a pleasure to be back with you. This time I think we are especially mindful of the decade of fine service which the Corn Belt Farm Hour has rendered to Midwestern agriculture and to the nation.
Professor Iverson, a tremendous lot has happened in this decade. The happy days of 37, 38, 39, and 40, then the war and its termination, and now these years in which we're trying to write the peace. There have been many changes, and yet some things are the same. May we have an observation from you on that?
Thank you, Herb. As we think of the program 10 years ago, we are reminded of the many changes which have occurred. The increased mechanization of our Corn Belt farms, for instance. Not only more tractors in the fields, but milking machines and mechanical milkers and coolers in the barns and milk houses. There are many things which are the same, however, Herb. You'll recall we talked then about Dairy Day, the advantages of dairy products. Avisha is an approaching event. It is true that Dairy Day is expanded into June, Dairy Month, and dairy products are even of greater importance than they were a decade ago, the wars brought to them new emphasis and importance, and there never was a time that the dairy industry appeared to be more important to agriculture than the 10-year period which lies immediately ahead. And as for Visha, well, Herb, I'm still faculty advisor, and Visha has come through the war without interruption. During the war years, the programs were, of course, curtailed somewhat, but the 26th annual Visha will be held this coming week. It's not only back in all its glory, but if you thought Visha was a big event then, 10 years ago, you ought to see what double the number of students have in store for you at Iowa State College next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thank you, Herb. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Professor Iverson. And if we have any more anniversaries, I hope you can always be with us. Homemakers have contributed much to our program, just as they have to everything else. One of our early Corn Belt Hour guests was Mrs. Z.C. Jones of Jasper County, then a farm homemaker who twice has been our guest. Mrs. Jones, I'm sure the passing years have meant much to you, as they have to all of us.
Yes, I can't possibly believe that so much time has slipped by. My only conclusion can be that, much as I hate to admit it, I must be getting older. Much has happened in those years. We are now living in Newton instead of the farm. My second daughter, Helen, and family are living there now. War has come and robbed us of Mary's fine husband in faraway Italy. Verla is a senior nurse at Broadlawns here in Des Moines, and our fourth and last daughter, Cleo, is graduating from Newton High School this month, and the young son will enter high school next year. Of course, my pride and joy are those two granddaughters, Judy and Janie, out there on the farm. We're still closely connected with the farm, however. ZC is organization director in Jasper County, with over 1,780 members to date. Yes, I've been listening to the Corn Belt Farm Hour all these years. Happy anniversary, Herb. May you have many, many more.
Thank you, and it's certainly been nice having you again, Mrs. Jones. You'll be interested to know that you are the 423rd homemaker we've had the pleasure to present on the Corn Belt Hour. National, state, and county extension directors also have been regular guests, 303 of them to be exact, in these 10 years. In choosing today's extension representative, we selected the national president of the county agents, Mr. H.M. Nichols, of Iowa's own Hamilton County. Nick, time limitations won't permit a lengthy visit, but we want a word from you about this week's Washington meeting, and you're seeing President Truman.
Yes, Herb, President Truman opened the fire prevention conference, and in addition to that, I had the pleasure of meeting with state extension directors from all parts of the country. Had another conference with the administrative staff of the Federal Extension Service. We got into some of these important matters that are bothering us up here, like foot-and-mouth disease, things of that kind. It was a heavy 2 or 3 days, but I think we accomplished something.
I'm sure you did. Coming back for a moment to fire prevention efforts, Nick, is there anything special on that?
Well, the president dwelled on the unnecessary loss of lives and property, and he built up 3 or 4 different items we should follow. A fire prevention education system that would click, more research, organizing the public for real support, and then a word or two on firefighting services that we've been working on, you know, through WHO and other sources.
Well, fine. We'll be carrying on with that. Incidentally, as national president, tell us how many county extension workers are there in the United States?
Men workers, a little over 5,200, about 8,300 in all.
That's a real army of workers. Now, one other question, Nick. As a member of the 1947 WHO National Plowing Match and Soil Conservation Field Day Executive Committee, tell us, how are things shaping up for the big day in Hamilton County, September 27th?
Oh, they're clicking fine, Herb. We have the committees underway, those that need to function now. We have the whole plow contest, the pictures taken, and it's all mapped. We have the other committees on call, ready to go to work shortly. We think things are in pretty nice shape.
They certainly look that way to us, too. And it really will be a big day there on the Ralph Olson Farm, September 27th. And, of course, the Corn Belt Hour will be originating there on that big day. Well, thanks a lot to you, H.M. Nichols, for being with us and for bringing us this word from Washington.
Thanks, Mr. Nichols, and thanks, Herb. Through the years, our Corn Belt Hour has prided itself on its music and its songs. Guest artists have occasionally been heard, including the WHO Songfellows, who are with us now for an anniversary feature we know you will like. The Songfellows sing that popular favorite, Iowa.
Iowa, it's a beautiful name when you say it like we say it back home. It's the robin in the world. It's the postmaster's friendly hello. Iowa, it's a beautiful name. You remember it wherever you roam. It's the Schumann in September. It's the squeak of your shoes in the snow. It's the Sunday school and the old river band. Songs on the porch after dark. It's the corner store and a penny to spend. You and your girl in the barn. Iowa, it's a beautiful name when you say it like we say it back home. It's a promise for tomorrow and a memory of long, long ago. Iowa, what a beautiful name. When you say it like we say it back home.
Now that the Songfellows have renewed our well-deserved state pride, let's turn to Bill Diamond and Gene Meyer, Herb's associates, with additional reasons for being proud of Iowa. Bill, take over.
Iowa is very proud, Ernie, of the folks around Pella, where 80% or more of the town and farm area is made up of those of Holland descent. We're honored to have three of this group with us to talk about the most colorful tulip festival scheduled next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And speaking of color, Mrs. Ralph Grunman, Harv Van Gorp, and little Mary Dieleman are all decked out in beautiful Dutch costumes, including wooden shoes. Mrs. Grunman, you were a Pella Tulip Time guest on this program about 9 years ago today. How does this year's festival compare to the one you told our listeners about then?
Oh, this is much bigger and better. You know, this is our centennial anniversary. You will be able to see antiques in Pella, the old Scalty home, and the old Dutch village at the high school, also the tulip gardens with the windmill. And, of course, last but not least, the pageant at 8:15 at the park.
Certainly you have a very interesting program lined up for the 3 days next week. Mr. Van Gorp, how will the tulips look for this year's festival?
They'll be at their peak by next weekend.
Probably a good thing that you postponed the festival 1 week.
Yes, it is, because they wouldn't have been 50% efficient. By the way, I have some samples here for you.
Oh, my, those are beautiful here. Let's pass those over to Herb. These Pella tulips just picked down there in the park this morning, I presume. Well, now, is there a different program each day, Mr. Van Gorp?
No, the program is practically the same each day.
Will most of the Pella folks be dressed up in native costume like you folks?
Yes, 80% of them will, and those that are not will probably be ostracized.
What about this costume of yours? Did that come from Holland?
Yes, I got this in Holland about 10 years ago.
Mrs. Grunman, what about this beautiful costume of yours? Is it from Holland also?
No, it is not. It is made in Pella from material that probably was brought through the blockade during the Civil War. It's about 86 years old and all handmade. Mr. Van Gorp is portraying a Volendam citizen. And little Mary Dieleman also has a Volendam costume. I have Gelderland.
Certainly are beautiful, and ones that I know you must prize. Incidentally, Mr. Van Gorp, how many people do you expect?
We expect at least 50,000 people during this 3-day celebration.
Can you handle that many, Atella?
We are going to try it.
Mary, you come over here. I'm going to try and lift you up to the... Oh, yeah, you can tell she's a heavy little girl, too. Lift her up to the microphone here. We're all decked out in this pretty little Dutch costume. What are you going to be in the pageant?
Indian.
An Indian? A little Dutch girl being an Indian? Aren't you going to be a little Dutch girl, too? Hmm?
Yeah,
she don't know, but she thinks so. Well, thanks, folks, for the lovely tulips. We'll be on hand at least one day and one night for the annual Pella Tulip Festival, May 15th, 16th, and 17th. And now to Gene Meyer for an interview on another source of Iowa pride.
One of the regular Corn Belt Farm Hour features during the past 10 years has been the reporting of good neighbor activities. We've had a number of those reports this spring, one of the most recent taking place on the Darrell Mosier Farm near Pleasantville. We understand...